You know, the Bible's given to us to paint a picture each time we read it and understand there's something going on tonight that you may be taking for granted, but realize that God says where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst. He tells us that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that the Holy Spirit indwells us. We're baptized into Christ. Christ comes into us. He abides in us. So He abides in us through the form of the Holy Spirit. So when you come into this place tonight, and I come into this place, claiming His Word, knowing that when we assemble together, that He is there in our midst, understand the Holy Spirit is ready to work tonight. And the Holy Spirit is the one that inspired these words to be written. The Holy Spirit is the God that lives inside of you, the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. So when the Word is read tonight in your presence, and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you discerns that word that's written by someone who was inspired by God to write it, understand something magical should happen. Something supernatural should happen. So when you close your eyes, you'll be able to put yourself on that hillside with those shepherds. Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one unto another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Amen. Reading of God's Word. Usually, as Christians gather around the Christmas season, there are several messages leading up to Christmas. We all are thinking about Christmas. And so the Bible gives us an account in Matthew 1, in Luke 1, in Luke 2. The Bible continues to tell us about the birth of Christ. And so we read through these scriptures, even Luke 2, 1 through 20. And we know that. And so you wonder, even as a pastor, knowing that you're getting ready to speak and speak on behalf of God, never wanting to repeat a sermon and never wanting to preach the same thing over, wondering sometimes, truthfully, what else is there to preach? What else do you preach? Haven't you already preached this or preached that? But do you know that God has a way of pulling back and just revealing something that you've never seen? And I praise Him for that. If you look at God's Word and you ask Him to show you something, He will always show you something. So in this Christmas story that we read of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem and the shepherds, I get to this verse 15 and 16, and I saw something in here that I'd never seen before that made me just question something. And from that question, I began to dig, and I thought, well, I need this answer. It applies to my whole life, and I'm sure that it'll apply to yours, and I think it's appropriate for Christmas Eve. It says, And as it came to pass, the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So with this being said, we know this part of the story. We understand that as the angels appeared and they said, Hey, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. We understood all this. But there's one question that I had, and maybe you've had it too. As the shepherds left and saw Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, who was watching the sheep? You say, well, you're being too analytical. Well, no, who was watching the sheep? This was these shepherds' livelihood. Understand, just like you go to work, just like you have your responsibilities, these shepherds' livelihood consisted of these sheep. That's why they were watching. Why do you watch sheep? You watch sheep so nothing gets them, right? These shepherds had families. They knew the sheep had to provide for their families. So who was watching the sheep? It's as if they blindly left their responsibilities and went to see this thing. Why? Who was watching the sheep? The answer will be revealed to us in the scripture. And I think as we pull some verses out of this passage here, I would first like to answer the question, why did they leave the sheep? Not who's watching, but why did they leave the sheep? And as I read verse 10 and 11, it says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How would we react to this good news? Understand, he said, I bring you good news, or good tidings of great joy. The angels told the shepherds, he brought them good tidings. We know this is King James, and this is what I'm reading, but the good tidings mean good news. But good news of what? Somebody tell me. Of great joy. Which shall be to who? All people. So this good news, this joy that's being given to all people, is that the Savior, the promised Savior, is being born in Bethlehem on this very day. Now, who's the promised Savior? If we were to look throughout the Old Testament, we would see that God had promised a Messiah. He had promised a Savior. And the prophets pointed to this day. So understand that this good news of great joy had been given to the shepherds. And so that was the reason they left. But understand this. As we think about this good news, as we think about this joy, why is it that the birth of Jesus was met with such rejoicing? You see, but because before Jesus was born, Jesus was the promised Messiah. How many people know that? Before he was born, he was the promised Messiah. He was the Savior, if you will, the Savior to come. But now, listen to the source of their joy. Listen to the good news. For unto you is born, hold on, don't miss it, this day. Amen? Hey, you know, when I saw that phrase, this day, you see, these shepherds grew up thinking and anticipating the same way that everybody else did. One day it's going to happen. One day it's going to happen. One day. How many people have lived in the hope of thinking that one day something in your life is going to happen that you think is going to happen? Somebody has told you, if you do this and you do this, then this is going to happen. But this day was the day it happened. Amen? Amen. For unto you is born this day. And so it was personal. Unto them was born that day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This day is a big deal as far as phrases go. There's no more waiting for the Savior to come. He is born this day. This great joy that God wanted to announce, this great joy that the angels proclaimed, was not only that God was going to send a Savior. He had promised that throughout the Old Testament. The good news, the good tiding of great joy, which shall be to all people, is for unto you is born this day in the city of David. There are lots of children right now that are anticipating what's going to happen in the morning. And with no matter what joy you see them anticipating, it will be nothing compared to the joy when the day comes tomorrow, right? I've seen children lose the ability to speak. Now, they can be happy when they know it's coming, but when it comes, it comes over you like a flood. It's here. It's come. You see, the angels were saying, this day is a day of great joy. You may say, well, for the Jewish people, it must have been a great day because the Messiah was promised to them. But I would have you to remember that we're celebrating for a reason tonight. I'll be the first to tell you I'm not of Jewish descent. But I want you to remember what the angel said. Good tidings of great joy shall be unto who?
All
people. Now, I would never want you to take my word for it, but I would want you to take God's word for it. So I've got some of God's word to share with you, right? Don't leave here saying Pastor Mike said. You can say, well, the book of Acts, the book of Luke, the book of Romans, and the book of Corinthians said. I'd rather you say that, right? In the book of Acts, Peter said, as he was preaching this message, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Praise God, I'm a whosoever, right? In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
That whosoever includes all of us. But let's get more specific. In Luke chapter 2, verse 30 through 32, you'll read a story about a man named Simeon. 8 days after Jesus was born, according to the custom, they had to take him into the temple to be circumcised. That was the Jewish custom. It was the sign of the covenant. So as they took him in here, there was a man named Simeon, and his one purpose for staying alive was to see the Messiah, the coming Savior. And do you realize when they brought that baby Jesus, he didn't have a name tag on that said Jesus. But when he saw that baby, he began to rejoice. And listen to what Simeon said, because he spoke on behalf of God. If you go back and research, you'll see that Simeon was described as someone being full of the Holy Ghost, right? So he was speaking. Listen to what he says. He says, as he took Jesus in his arms, baby Jesus, and proclaimed, "For mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Well, guess what? You and me, we're Gentiles. And Jesus was not only the light to light them, he's the light to light us, right? It's beautiful. And Paul spoke about the gospel of Christ in Romans chapter 1. The gospel, understand, the gospel is the good news. That's what the gospel means, the good news. The gospel, or the good news of Christ, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Listen. To the Jew first, and also to who? To the Greek. That means if you're not, the Greeks are anybody who wasn't Jewish. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, Paul says, and I love this because he just clears up any kind of controversy. He says, "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Do you know who this child was given to? Now, this is important. All that would call upon him. Now, this is important to remember because they brought good news of great joy. But do you realize that not everybody can sing joy to the world because they haven't received the joy? Now, they may have received the good news, but they haven't received the joy. Let me say that again. They may have received the good news, but they haven't received the joy. I can remember growing up and knowing that I heard about it. I knew about it. I knew about the good news, but I can remember the day I received the great joy. There's a difference in getting the news and getting the joy. Amen. And I want to talk to you about that difference tonight a little, if I may. So today, you and I, even if we're not of Jewish descent, have a reason to rejoice. This same joy, these good tidings of great joy that the angels talked about that will be to all people, this includes all of us Gentiles too. But again, there's a difference in hearing the good news and receiving the joy. So if I were to tell you tonight, I've got some good news for you. I have a stack of $20 bills that's laid out on this table right back here for anybody that wants to go and get one. If I told you that good news tonight, how would you react to that? Well, I don't see you reacting to it. If you really believed it, you would go and get it. I don't see anybody reacting to it, so I'm telling you, you don't believe me, right? Is that what you're trying to say? Show it to me. Huh? Not now. Wait till after service. It is an example, right? You understand what just happened? You see, I want to talk about this joy. You have to believe the good news to receive the great joy. You have to believe the good news to receive the great joy. These people that heard the good news acted upon the good news. And because they acted upon the good news, they're waving in great joy and rejoicing because the good news actually became great joy. If they just heard it and didn't act upon it, it was still just good news. It's a big deal. It's written right there, isn't it? The good news of great joy. Well, you say, how do we know they received this great joy? You see, the angels brought this good news, but the shepherds had to believe it the same way that we do. I can tell you the good news of a Savior that has come to rescue you from your sins, but every person that hears the news has to act upon it to show that they believe. Do you realize that? If you want to receive that great joy and be able to sing of the joy, then you've got to receive the news and you've got to act upon the news. You know, I could bring you the good news that I've got $20 bills laying back there, but if you don't believe the good news, then you'll never receive the joy that comes from the news. I would say there's five people that believed and acted upon the good news, and right now, they're living in the great joy. And I would say there's a couple of hundred that are not. Why? Did everybody hear the good news?
Yes.
Did everybody receive the good news?
No.
No. They received it here, but they didn't process from here to here to here. The shepherds did. You see, the shepherds believed this good news, and because they believed the good news, they experienced the great joy. Listen to verse 15 and 16. These are our verses. It says, "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And it says they came with haste. They didn't sit and decide what was going to go on or what was the best plan for the sheep or how it's going to work or what's the best plan. It said they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. It tells us they had a discussion as soon as the angels left, and they said, let us go and see this thing. You tell me. Does someone leave everything they have, their responsibilities, and go to see unless they actually believe? Now, they won't go unless they believe. They acted upon their belief, and basically you and I both know that belief is faith. The Bible says in James that faith without works is dead. It means you can say you believe the good news of Christ, but the evidence that you believe it is if you go after it, if you believe like the shepherds did. Well, how do you know the shepherds believed? They left their sheep. I've heard commentators stretch out and say, well, in those days, what happened is they had different people. My Bible doesn't tell me they had anybody watching these sheep. And anybody that says that is embellishing the story. Unless it gives you biblical proof, it's just your opinion, pal. The Bible tells us they left their sheep. Why in the world? How in the world? And what does it have to do with us? We're not sheep farmers. No, but we all have sheep. We all have the things in our life that we look after. These are supposed to be the things that take care of us. It gives us our financial stability. Or it's our relationships. It's the things that we focus on. We guard these things. You know, we've got to put this in place, and we've got to do this, and we've got to do this. And do you know that there's a time in your life where you have this visit from God? And it may not be from a host of angels that comes, but God speaks to you the same way, and He says, you need to go and see Jesus. You need to go. You'll be inclined to go. Here's the good news. You can find Jesus here. You may hear that from a friend of yours. You may hear it from a sermon. You may hear it by reading on a tract. But some way or another, God will speak to you, and He'll give you the good news. And you'll have a choice to receive it and experience the great joy. But do you know that people don't because they're afraid to leave the sheep? They're afraid to leave these things in life that have become so important to us. It's not rare to see somebody say, I can't really go and commit to God because of my job right now. Your job is your sheep. You say, well, I've got to take care of my family. And as I've told you before, on your best day, you've never taken care of your family. I realized a long time ago, I wanted my children to think that I was the bravest, most capable guy, that as long as Dad is here, you'll always be protected. As long as Dad is here, you'll always be provided for. And I was humbled to think that on my best day, I've never provided for them one day that God didn't allow me to provide. I've never protected them one day that God didn't allow me to protect them. It was Him that was doing it all along. So He tells me to seek Him first and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. He's saying there's got to be a time of belief and trust. You've got to leave your sheep to follow me, and I'll take care of the sheep. That's what he's saying. That's faith. That's belief. It took a lot for them, but what did they experience? Well, the Bible says when they came and saw, they left rejoicing. You know, you rejoice when you experience joy, right? Do you know why people in the world are not experiencing joy? Because they're afraid to leave those sheep, the responsibilities of life. And I'm not telling you to step out on your family or your children. Don't take the wrong message away. I'm saying you don't have to step out on them. If you step into God, He'll take care of your children. And they'll see in you that you're that they're protected by Him instead of you. Listen, I'm not going to be here forever. And I'll tell you something, if you've got small children, you think all your life you're going to protect them and care for them, there'll come a day when they pull out of your driveway and you can't have your hand on them. And the only way that you have to protect them is to get on your knees and pray for them to the one that protects them anyway. It's never you. Your prayer should be that they stay in fellowship with God and that they've seen you walk in hand with God, because that way they'll see your example. They acted upon their belief. This belief was this true faith in the good news of Jesus. Do you know that true faith in the good news of Jesus will cause you to act upon what God wants you to do with the assurance that God will take care of whatever you have to leave to pursue Him? Amen. That's happened to every person that has left for the mission field and trusted God. That's happened to every person that accepted a call into the ministry. That's happened to every individual that's not a missionary or a pastor, but chose to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's happened for everybody that stood upon the Word of God when the world has said, hey, that's the wrong way to do it. That's happened to everybody that's taken a stand and said, I'm gonna seek the Lord. I'm going to give it to Him. I'm going to trust Him. That's happened to every person. You know what they found out? They found out that if they've trusted and acted upon their faith, that God will take care of whatever you have to leave to pursue Him. So who was watching the sheep? Well, God was watching the sheep. We don't need to forget that God is in control of the entire situation. Well, what do you mean? We worry about the sheep. We worry about the sheep. We worry about what'll happen. You know what we forget? God's in control of the wolf. God's in control of the wolf. God's in control of the wolf. We forgot He made the wolf too. We sit in fear. What if the wolf gets the sheep? What if the wolf gets the sheep? I'll protect them. God made the wolf. That wolf will sneak behind you and get something. It won't ever sneak behind God, because God can just zap his mind. Wolf, you've got a force field here, right? Oh, King David, I love what he said. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. If you seek God, He'll make a testimony out of you. You see, God didn't tell you that you were going to be a light for no reason. If you follow Him and be a light for Him, He'll make you a light. He'll make you somebody to light somebody else's path. If you trust in Him and depend on Him and give to Him, even in our principles of giving, where we give our time, we give our service, guess what? God will give you more because He knows you're giving it to somebody else. Does it make sense? No, it's supernatural. It's not supposed to make sense. If it made sense, then we would put a spin on it and try to figure it out. But when I start thinking God made the wolf, that God controls the enemy, well, then my best bet is just to do and go where God tells me to go. You say, that's naive. No, that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. These shepherds were not irresponsible to leave their sheep. They were responsible to believe the good news. And they knew if God promised great joy, then he would watch over the sheep. Don't you know if God promises you great joy, that he'll watch over the sheep of your life? You're not going to be that exception to the rule. You're not going to say, oh, well, listen, hey, I chose to serve the Lord and my life fell apart. I've never heard anybody say that. You won't be the exception. You won't sneak out of God's plan. You see, they had to be willing to act upon the good news of the great joy in order to experience the great joy. And the Bible tells us in Luke 2:17, when they had seen it, this is great. That means after they got there, when they had seen it, this means once they acted upon the good news of the Savior. Now, I don't want to point this out. It may be remedial, and I may have watched too many episodes of CSI, but they couldn't see it unless they left their position of keeping watch over their sheep, right? There's a lot of things that we don't see that God wants to show us, because we're not willing to leave what it is that we think we're watching over. Amen?
Amen.
Or oh me. It's hard because we're so guilty of that, right? You see, once they did, once they left the sheep and they accepted this good news of Christ and experienced it, verse 17 says something wonderful. It says that they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know what they started doing? They started telling people, the Savior is here. The Savior is here. He has come. He has come. Could they have said that if they haven't seen him? No. Could they have said that if they didn't hear the good news? No. But do you know the typical thing that happens when somebody hears the good news and then experiences it, steps out and leaves whatever it was that was keeping them from him? And it doesn't have to be, you're thinking sheep, well, my family. It could be your financial security. It could be your intellect. A lot of people don't come to God because they want to leave their position of intellect. Oh, well, that's beneath me to think. I can't accept that because scientifically it doesn't make sense. Their refusal to leave what it is they think they're watching over. But when they do and they experience the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what they want to do? They want to go tell it on the mountain. They want to go tell somebody like these shepherds. Why? Because something happened supernatural in their life and it changed them. And you may come into this place tonight and you say, yeah, I went and listened to that bald-headed fella who was all over the place talking and excited about Jesus Christ. I know that's his pitch. I know he's a preacher. He's wanting to build that church up. Listen, I don't have an agenda. I'm after God's agenda. I'm the least usable person he could have used. As Paul said, I feel like that I'm the chiefest of sinners, yet God's grace was overwhelming to give me chance after chance to tell you that if he loved me, I know he can love you. And so there's a joy that's there and a wonderment. How, God, today I'm going to get to serve you again? I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. Don't you remember all the things that I did against you? And he says, no, I put them behind you. That's grace. And these shepherds, once they saw it and experienced, they wanted to tell somebody. And I want to tell somebody. That brings up a question. When is it in our life that we stop wanting to tell somebody? Here's the clue. When we start wanting to watch over the sheep again. We lose our desire to go and tell somebody because we're afraid of something we're going to lose, whether it's the friendship of somebody or a financial position or our time or our schedule. Or that's why we stop telling people, because we start watching over the sheep. This was huge. Who's watching the sheep? They left the sheep to follow him. Never saw it before, but I think it's beautiful. They started telling people the Savior is here. Do you know what happens to us once we act upon the good news of the gospel of Christ? We want to share it. But we can't share it unless we leave our sheep to go and experience it. Now, as a result of this, there's something else that we don't talk about, but I know God put it in here for a reason. And I thought, well, this just ties everything together. When I read verse 20, the end of this story, look, because it's beautiful. It says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard as it was told to them." Now, we all know, and I've even said before in some sermons, you know what happens when you go see Jesus? You leave rejoicing, right? If you hear the good news and you act upon the good news, then you're going to receive the great joy. Now, we've got that point across, right? But what about these shepherds and sheep? Well, I saw something here that I haven't seen before. It says when they returned, look in your Bible, when they returned. It doesn't say as they were leaving Jesus' house in Bethlehem or the stable or the barn or wherever. It doesn't say as they were leaving. It says as they returned. Where were they coming back to? The sheep. And it doesn't say as they returned, they found the flock in such a mess. And they wondered how they were going to get through. They had left it and they didn't know what. There was no worry here, was there? It didn't say as they returned, they worried if everything was going to be okay because of the decision that they made to leave the sheep at that critical time at night. I didn't read that, did you? Listen, as they returned, it's beautiful. The shepherds returned. That means they got back. It didn't say returning. In the translation, it's not part of returning. As they, read it with me, and the shepherds returned. When they got back, here's what they were doing. Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Amen. The sheep were okay. They got back to the sheep, and from that time on, it wasn't about the sheep anymore. Amen. It was about the great joy. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been in that position where God changed your perspective of everything and a peace came over you? Amen. And people think Christians are just naive. Well, it's not naive, but when I turn it over to Him, why do I have to worry about it? If I really believe He's going to take care of it, and I've reached out, and I've heard the good news, and I accepted the good news, then I should live in the great joy. Does that mean that nothing's ever going to happen to me bad? Absolutely not, because, you know, I have a tendency to go back to the sheep, don't you? Yeah. And every now and then, there has to be something that happens to make me say, "Hey, God, I tried to take control of this, but listen, I want to submit to You again." Guess what? I can experience that great joy, that provision. They were praising God because they heard the good news and acted upon it and experienced the great joy. And I would love to see what they said when they got back to the flock. Don't you let anybody tell you they hired somebody to watch the flock or there was somebody that sat there. If they do, give me the scripture, come and bring it to me, and I'll preach the rebuttal to this the next time we preach. It's not in there. As they returned, they were praising and glorifying God. God will never let you down. If you choose to pursue where He tells you to go, and you're not going to see a billboard, you're not going to see a plane carrying a sign behind you, you're going to hear what He wants you to do when you give yourself to Him in your heart and mind. And Christian, listen to this. The reason that we don't hear the good news, even Christians, you know, He continues to give us the good news. He continues to tell us about our security, what He wants us to do, but the reason we don't hear Him is because still we're so involved in keeping this flock on this earth. And everything that we're keeping is temporary. This whole story applies to us in the same way. This good news is Jesus. He wasn't just given to you as a baby. He's given to all people. That means that we have to ask ourselves the question, have we acted upon the good news? Are we willing to leave our position of just hearing the news and commit to accept it and go after Jesus? Can I share the good news with you? Father God created the heavens and the earth. Within all of His creation, He put a seed within Adam and Eve. And throughout the generations and generations, you're a part of that seed of Adam and Eve. And God tells us in the book of Genesis, he created man and he wanted to have fellowship with man. And man sinned and sin came into the world. And by that sin, I have a sin nature and you have a sin nature. We all have this propensity to sin. But our sin separates us from God. God's a holy and righteous God. And the Bible says there's none of us righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that leaves us in a bad position. We have a holy and righteous God that wants to have fellowship with us, and we are not righteous. So a holy and righteous God can't have fellowship with unrighteousness. The book of Romans tells us, what does righteousness have to do with unrighteousness, right? Nothing. So are we doomed? We're doomed in that position. But the Bible says that God, in his great mercy, in his great love, he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that if we would just believe in him and accept him, we could have everlasting life. He didn't send Jesus to condemn us, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, we're in this position of being separated from God, and the Bible tells us that if we stay in this position, then what we get out of that, the wages of that would be death, eternal death, which means hell. But even in this life, it means separation from God. But praise God, the verse goes on. And he says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he goes on to tell us in Romans 5 that God, he showed us his love, he commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, before we did anything for him, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You say, well, is it imperative that we do this? Is it imperative that we come to God through Jesus? Well, Jesus said there's no other way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And then Jesus had this little conversation with a man named Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he made it clear, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Well, what do you mean, born again? Well, the Bible tells us in order to be saved, it takes two things. You can't be good enough. It can't be your good works. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. How appropriate. What season are we celebrating? It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't come to God with anything in our hands or anything that we've done. We have to take the gift of grace. You say, well, how do I get it? Listen to Romans 10, 9 and 10. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, listen, no maybe, no might, thou shalt be saved. And then he said, there's two areas I'm looking at. He said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, God's not going to look at just what we say. He's going to look at what we mean. He's looking not just for a verbalized, hey, I believe in you, Jesus. Because that would put us right along with the devil. He believes in Jesus too. It's not about believing in historical Jesus. It's not believing there's a God out somewhere. It's accepting him as your Savior and knowing that I'm going to accept your gift of God, the gift of God. God, you must love me. You sent Jesus to die for me. Listen, the only thing that will take away my sins is the blood of Jesus. You know, we talked about him being here righteous, us being unrighteous. Well, you go back to the Old Testament, there had to be a blood covenant in place. In order for someone to get forgiveness of their sins, there had to be a sacrifice made out of the blood and a burnt offering. That sacrifice had to be made on the altar, and the blood was offered because the life is in the blood. Jesus Christ became that sacrifice. He became that lamb on the altar of the cross because he was the only perfect man. Amen. Born of God, born of man. He came out of the womb of Mary. So he had the opportunity to sin just like we do. And I have to say it again because it was just something that's had me on fire. You know, I praise God. And I have praised God. And I've all my life I've praised God for Jesus dying for me on the cross. But understand, he could not have died on the cross if he would have ever committed a sin. So this new way of praise that I'm giving to him, you see, I don't know anything about how hard it is to die, but I know how hard it is to live. Every day, I'm tempted to sin. Do you know that my Savior and your Savior walked this same earth just like us? Every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every month of his life, he had an opportunity to sin, and he chose not to. Why? Because somewhere down the road, he was going to have to die for you or me. I'm going to tell you something. Dying's hard, but living, that seems harder. He lived for me every day, not just died for me. So he became that perfect sacrifice, and he was put on the altar of the cross, and his blood was shed. And I wasn't there, and you weren't there. But if I accept it by belief and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, and I give him myself and say, God, I'm a sinner, and I'm admitting I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to use the blood of Christ to forgive me of my sins. Let him come into me, and I will live for you. That means I'm believing, accepting that good news. And guess what God's going to give me? Great
joy.
Because I'm a whosoever. Do I deserve it? Can I buy it?
No.
Can I earn it?
No.
No, it's a gift of love.
Amen.
You have to accept this good news to receive the great joy. And here's the promise that I want to give you tonight. That weeks ago, when I knew all these messages coming up to preach about Christmas, I never thought I'd be giving you this fact for you to leave on. But I'm telling you to come to Christ. Why? Because God will watch your sheep. The reason that people don't come to Christ is because they're afraid of what's going to happen to their sheep, whatever it is that you have that's keeping you from being totally committed to him. These shepherds left it all. And it tells me they return rejoicing. Amen?
Amen.
Let me ask you where you're at tonight. Let me ask you in this invitation. Have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't accepted him as your Savior, you don't need to be embarrassed. You need to be aware. Aware of what? Aware that right now, he's speaking to you the same way he spoke to those shepherds. He's sharing the good news to you, and he's telling you, if you'll just come to where you can find Jesus, you can experience great joy. Now, where do you find him? Well, you find him at the end of a prayer, the beginning of a prayer. But it will never happen if you don't believe the good news and you don't act upon the good news. You can keep believing everything this world has to give you, that you'll find happiness here, you'll find happiness there, you'll find success here, you'll find success there. But understand, none of those things will bring you great joy. They'll bring you temporary satisfaction and heartache is what they will bring you, right? The only great joy that you ever could get is going to come from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what gets you to God. And if you can't tell me for sure that you don't know that you know that you know that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would love to pray with you tonight. I can't pray you to heaven. I'm just going to guide you to what to pray. And I'll tell you what, the angels in heaven will rejoice tonight, and you will rejoice. Just like those people that acted upon that $20 bill and left rejoicing, you'll never know what great joy is until you act upon that belief, right? Act upon that belief tonight. It's so much more valuable than $1 million.
Amen.
But Christian, we celebrate Christmas too, and we feel like since we're Christians, we've got this thing wrapped up. I just don't have any Christmas spirit. It's all about the people buying presents and all this going on. That's what you make it. You can hear whatever you want to hear, but you still have an opportunity to get right with God and have a relationship with him every day. The world's never going to act the way you want it to around you. It's what you make of it. And sadly enough, the truth is, the reason that we're not overjoyous is because we've got our eyes too fastened on our sheep, on what we have in life. So tonight, I give you an opportunity to put all that aside, just like the shepherds did. Leave your position. Your position of caring and thinking and worrying that we do every day. And, you know, we go out and we get in this grind and here, I'm going to do this Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday or Monday through Sunday. And I'm going to put everything together for these 4 weeks and I'm going to call it a month and I'm going to pay the people that I owe for this month and I'm going to start over again. And this is the way I do life and here's my plan to try to get it. Leave that. I'm not telling you to leave your job. I'm telling you to leave the worry, the anxiety, Christian, get back to where you found your joy. Get back to where you found your joy, and God will take care of your sheep. Where do you get back to that joy? At the beginning and the end of a prayer. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for your words, your message. I pray, God, that you would just, Lord, impress it on the hearts of each person that's heard it tonight. I pray, God, if there's someone here that's never accepted your son Jesus as Savior, they have heard the good news. I pray, God, they act upon it as the shepherds left and came to find it. Lord, let them come and find it tonight. I pray, God, for Christians all over this room. I pray, God, that we would take a look and see which one we're pursuing, our sheep or your son. I pray, God, that you show us our condition tonight, Lord, and if it's a convicting time that you show us, I pray, God, that prayers are offered up, that people's hearts are made right tonight on this Christmas Eve, talking about coming to see Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for promising to watch over our sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.